Hey, we're so glad you're here at the kickoff. We hope you enjoyed Slims. I know you guys came from a break. I went a chance to go home, and my sister-in-law, she's a pastor, she let me come up to her pop-up church that she's doing, and they're in the elementary school, and it's pretty cool. So I want to show you a picture I saw. this is a wall, and these are little kids' writings of what they think their personalities are like. I love these two in particular. I have a story about this one. This is a guy named Terrell. And Terrell says, I'm strong like a dragon. I'm adventures like a lion. I'm patient like an owl, which means patient, but that's okay. And I'm focused like a wolf. I'm gonna be honest, I really like that kid. I wanna be his friend. Because I'm gonna be honest, I would have misspelled patient too at that age. Doesn't matter. Moving on. I love this little girl's color and how she like, this is just the difference between guys and girls. Like, she thought about like red and then the orange and then the yellow and green. And then she was like, and then rainbow. Boom. Right? And Terrell was just like, I just got to get this done. And I don't even know how to spell patient. So let's just go with it. Right? But she says, I'm honest like a dog. I'm friendly like a bunny. I'm trustworthy like an elephant. And she spelled elephant wrong. Wait, did she? Angela, did she? Did she? Yeah, okay. She's like six. Yeah. And I'm smart like a cheetah. This is Ellie. I have a niece who I love with my whole heart. Her name's Eliana. So I thought that was her, and I was trying to get her permission so I could show this, and then she was like, oh, that's not me. And so I was like, all right, whatever. But it's interesting. Look at these kids. They're trying to explain themselves through animals. Try to explain their personality, right? And if you saw from our Instagram stories, you saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's the Enneagram. Maybe some of you have done personality tests like Myers-Briggs, Strength Finders, let me look at my notes. Oh, the Gary Small. Are you a lion, an otter, a beaver? I'm a beaver. Just saying. Or the DISC, right? All these things as we start to grow up are these personality tests to try to understand how do we know ourselves? How do we actually gain some self-awareness? The Enneagram has become a very popular one, and I've been really trying to figure out how to explain the Enneagram to those of you who maybe don't know and everything else, and so I'm just gonna give you a little bit of background. The Enneagram, really weird history, and I'm not gonna be a show-all. By the way, I'm a five, which means I'm a thinker, which means I really like facts, so if you're like, hey, you're pretentious, I understand. Totally get it. So it's the sense where it came from a guy named Evagrius of Ponticus, who talked about the seven deadly sins, all right? And so someone made this of the sense of a personality trait of the positive things that people try to inhabit. And so what I want to try to explain to you right now is, imagine all nine of these people came around a spider. What would happen? So let me tell you from my perspective of a five. I would look at that spider and say, spiders are called arachnids. By the way, daddy long legs are not spiders. They have six legs, so they're an insect. Okay. Five, clearly. Reagan, am I a five?
I don't know.
Clearly. Your opinion doesn't matter. So for instance, I'm kidding. So and then a one would come by and look at that spider and say, that spider is part of the natural order. Don't touch it, kills insects. And would give that spider a charge, kill insects and leave me alone. And if it didn't do its orders, there would be a problem. A two, God love twos, two would look at it and be like, I just want to put it in a box and love it till it dies. And the two would probably kill it because it forgot to put air holes in the box. Smother it. A three would stand there and say, yeah, this reminds me of Spider-Man. By the way, did you guys know I was an extra in Spider-Man? A four is so, I love fours. Fours would just be like, look at the spider, get real close to it and say, I had a spider named Freddy, he left me, just like everyone. I'm so lonely. It's just all in the feels. We already went to a five, a six. A six would start Googling and saying, should I be concerned about spiders? What are the pros and benefits and the cons of a spider? And should I be concerned? Seven would go like this, very simple logic. If you're a seven and if you know that, goes like this. Spiders make silk. Silk is awesome. Spiders are awesome. Cool. That's awesome. A nine would be behind everyone and go like this and be like, if I don't see it, it doesn't see me. If I don't see it, it doesn't see me. Just leave me alone. And everybody would be like, where is nine? Because they're behind. And then an eight would look at everyone and go, what's up? Yeah, I did that. I hope you explain that you're like, oh, I know that person. I know a person like that. And a lot of times the Enneagram is very important to us. We use it in so many different ways. And sometimes it can be harmful. Actually, a personality test can be really harmful sometimes. Now, we get hooked on personality tests like this because it validates our actions. It validates our behaviors. And instead of actually giving it a sense of self-awareness, we start using to validate actions like this. You see, I'm a five, and I don't have much energy for fours. So if you're a four, I can only spend 30 minutes with you a day, and only one of you, because if more of you can't handle it, right? I'm pushing away people and validating my actions, and we have some choice words, but we can say they're not being pleasant and kind, all of these different things. So we have a question for today. Actually, let me first stop right here. A lot of times for our culture and for us and you and me, we love being informed and informing people about ourselves. Yet, and here's the price we pay, we are very distracted and unreflective about our thoughts and behaviors and actions. And it causes us pain in our relationships. So our question for the day is this. Does the Bible give us any guidance for gaining knowledge of self? Well, first of all, let me give you this answer. Faith and following Jesus is a relational movement between God, others, and self. Christianity is never just about you and God. It's about God, others, and self. And if you were here all last semester, we talked a lot about others and community and the importance of it. But it's something we need to continually remind ourselves. And the second thing is, yes, the Bible wants to gain wisdom for ourselves. It's called wisdom. And there are three books, Ecclesiastes, Job, and Proverbs. All talk about wisdom. And Proverbs is what we're going to talk about today. Proverbs is very interesting. We usually like to take Proverbs, stop that, as principles, as things that we can apply to our lives, and no matter what we do, this will always work out. Proverbs aren't like that. Proverbs are short, clever sayings to give us some guidance on how to live a well-meaning life. This is how things could go for you if you do this, but it gives no guarantees. But the Proverbs can really help us, and they should. So I wanna dig into about four, and it's gonna go quick for us, and we wanna hang out after this and to continue to connect with each other, so this is gonna be super quick. So the very first one that I wanna talk through, Proverbs 1:7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Some of you are like, the fear of the Lord, I'm not supposed to fear the Lord. Think of it more like awe. It'd be like, not just, oh, God's awesome, but to actually stare at something like a sunset and be like, oh, that kind of awe. And here's what I think this proverb is actually trying to say. Knowing who God is and acknowledging God is the first step towards living a well-lived life. Let's move on to the next one. It comes from Proverbs 14:8. "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." Here's what I think it's trying to say. A person who usually shows care and considers how they go about doing their life avoids false impressions. What someone would call integrity. Already, I hope what you're starting to see is the Proverbs is actually giving us real practical ways and advice about what does it mean to have self-awareness? What does it actually mean to live a well-lived life? First, it comes from knowing God and actually thinking about your actions, reflecting upon them. Here's a third one for us. It comes from Proverbs 20, verse 5. "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but the one who has insight draws them out." All right, what is that saying? Self-awareness comes through critical examination of self. Self-awareness comes through critical examination of self. That you and I can't actually grow into becoming all that we're supposed to be unless you actually look at yourself and be like, why did I do that? Or what should I have not done? Or how can I avoid that? Or why did I say that thing? Proverbs is asking us to be reflective. Not just to act, why do you do things, but how are you going about doing things? So let's just stop right there and first think about this question that I want to say, that first of all, there is a way that personality tests can be unhelpful. So the first one, that how it can be unhelpful, is we make it our identity, right? And I make this kind of comment. You say, I'm a 4, I'm a 5, I'm a 6, I'm a 7, and this is how I act. We say, this is central to knowing who I am. Problematic, especially if you're a Jesus follower. Next one, we box others in. We look at somebody and say, Cindy, you're a 2, and you need to understand you overstretch yourself and make everyone feel like they need you. I was also going for Sydney because I don't think there's a Sydney in here. Hopefully there's not. Okay, assuming knowledge of others, you start to look at people and be like, I know how they act, I know how they are because I know these things about this personality test. Or I know these things because of I've read enough books, da-da-da-da. So we start to reject actual communication. Here's the fourth one. We make it a litmus test towards our health. We say, this personality test, particularly with the Enneagram, there's always a healthy and unhealthy. We start to say, well, I'm really being this, so I am healthy. And actually start to actually take critical examination of how we're living our life. Here's the next one. It's an end-all be-all. We say, this is it. I figured out who I am from this, and this will be it from now on. I am a master guru at the Enneagram. I read like 6 books about this. I'm a 5, so I am. No, I'm kidding. But here's how these could be helpful. Let's look at this. First one, it can help us to re-examine our past actions. And what did Proverbs say? Critical examination of self. Personality traits and the personality test can actually be helpful for us. We shouldn't reject them because they're self-reporting. It should help us to understand why am I doing what I'm doing? Maybe this can help me. Here's another way that it can help us. It enables us to empathize with others because people have to deal with you, not the other way around. We can actually start to look at people and be like, listen, I understand why you don't get what's going on with me. Or why someone looks at me, usually a lot, 4s and 2s, look at me a lot and they're like, you're just not emotionally like open. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I'll try harder. I can try to do better. Here's a third one, vulnerability. If you don't know who you are, and the Proverbs is getting at this, it's really hard to be open with other people. It's really hard to actually have a true friendship with others. It's actually even hard to actually have a relationship with God because what you're trying to do is deceive yourself and thinking you can deceive God. Fourth one, language. Could give us language about how you do what you do. But it doesn't become an end-all be-all. It can just say like, I get that. I get why I do that. And maybe I can actually create better healthy patterns. But there's something more that we were just talking about, right? This has all been about like, you can hear this at a seminar, right? On the Enneagram, you can hear it anywhere else, but like, we're talking about God. And the Proverbs says something very, very important. So could you bring it up? A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. Now the heart is a place in the Hebrew mind. It's a place where your will, your actions, everything comes to its center. It's basically where you contemplate. And so what is this proverb trying to say? Wisdom notices the need for guidance. If you're writing notes, write ultimate guidance. That as much as you try to know yourself, you are still a mystery to yourself. You're continually on the process and on the road. And so it's hard to say, this is how I am. This is how my personality works. When the one who really knows you is God. And whether you're not sure about who God is or any of those things, it's not something that we like to say is a truth that's harmful to you. It's a truth that can actually lead you into intimacy with God, not push you away. Because God's not angry at you. God wants to show you his love for you. Just a little side sermon. Okay, and so, this idea, like God knows you, how can Jesus followers balance personalities and faith in Christ? I got lost in my own train of thought. So how can? First of all, is this important one. God knows how to guide you. It's not just some force in the world. God, a personal being, actually doesn't just want to say from that last proverb, just doesn't know how to guide you, wants to guide you into fruitfulness, into beauty and truth and love that are found in him. Second thing, God has made you to be much more than your personality. It's hard for us to see that. Listen, I'm not trying to be an expert on this. I definitely am not. I'm preaching as much to myself as I am to anyone else. That what you wrap yourself around, your personality, your identity, the markers of your life, that you're a student, all those things, that God actually has something much more for you. But let me just pause right there. Let's go move to a third thing. God has given you an identity and a way of being that is life-giving and wise. And it's found in who Jesus is. That your identity is who Christ is. If you have faith in who Jesus is, that you say, I am a child of God because Jesus showed me his love and I embrace that. And it starts to change you because it's core. It's something you can anchor yourself onto because it's connected to who God is, that God loves you, that God wants to do something good with you. And the gospel, or it's not the gospel, it's the epistle of 1 John. John is writing to some people who are struggling with identity, struggling with sin, struggling with all these things, personality, everything. And he says something so beautiful and we skip over it because we're like, oh, I know that. But listen to it once again. Here's what he says, 1 John 3. He says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God because of who Jesus is and embracing him. And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. I'm just gonna pause right there and say this, that actually embracing all who Jesus is means there's a sense of mystery to you. For those who don't know who Jesus is, it actually makes me be like, why are you the way you are? Because I'm a son or daughter of Jesus because of what he's done for me. And it's changed me, the way I relate to you and myself and God. But he says this, continues on, dear friends, and I'm saying this to you now, dear friends, now we are children of God and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Here's what John's trying to say. Maybe you ache to be all and so much like Jesus because you fully follow him. And you're just like, I just can't do it. John's saying, it's gonna happen. Press on, continue on. And he's saying to you though, who are like, I just don't know anymore. He's saying, it's worth it. It's worth following Jesus because there's something at the end of it that's been granted to you through Jesus and it's worth holding on to. Here's something that I want us to go away with and here's my big point. As people who trust and hope in King Jesus and with personality tests, what you and I should want is to best reflect King Jesus, not yourself, not your personality, not what the Enneagram tells you, but to best reflect who you have faith in your day-to-day actions. And through the most authentic and truth-filled way you can be in your thoughts and actions and behavior. Self-awareness, like everything else in life, is a process. Faith is a process. But that Jesus and God doesn't just care about you getting to heaven, that Jesus actually wants to transform you, your personality, your identity, so that it can best reflect what God wants you to be, which is like him. And it's made known and found in King Jesus. And that when you and I can actually reflect that in the most authentic way as who you are, whether you're a 4 or an 8 or a 9, and be truth-filled in that, that there's some aspect that you can reflect better than other people, but you gotta work for it. And it makes sense because then all of us are needed in the community of faith. Because it's not just about you reflecting who Jesus is in the world, it's about all of us together reflecting who Jesus is in the world. And so our anthem needs to be that King Jesus is our hope, our trust is in him, and we wanna live authentically and truth-filled in our thoughts and actions and behavior. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. God, thank you for short, clever sayings from people a long, long time ago that still speak to us today to point us to you and to ultimately point us to King Jesus. God, I ask for all of us that we would live in a manner worthy of the gospel, the good news that's about what you are and who you are and ourselves and others, and that we might proclaim that in our lives. And thank you for just loving us and being faithful. God, we want to be self-aware of how we act and behave and think and do. Help us. Holy Spirit, guide us. God, and if there are people who are not sure about who you are, God, I ask that you'd comfort them. Show them who you are in a way that speaks to the heart and that shows them the beauty of who you are and how we've encountered you already. Pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.